Jesus is risen. Okay, let's come to God's word. Okay. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest event. That's what we are celebrating this morning. We are remembering that first Sunday morning when Jesus bodily rose from the dead. Okay, it's not an optional thing to believe in the resurrection. It is the foundation. It's the cornerstone of our faith. In Romans 10, chapter 9 and 10, Paul writes, that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our salvation depends on us believing that Jesus is Lord over all and that he rose from the dead. Okay, so that's what it is. And what the resurrection shows us is this, that not only did Jesus rise from the dead, that one day you and I will also come alive. That death is not the end. There was a Calvin and Hobbes comic, and it shows the teacher in the class. She's just finished her lesson, and she says, okay, before we go on, are there any questions? So Calvin says, yes, I've got a question. He says, what is the purpose of human existence? The teacher says, no, all I meant was questions relating to the topic I've just taught. Okay? So, but the question is a very good one. What is the purpose of human existence? All kinds of religions give all kinds of answers. But we know the truth is found in what Jesus says and in the Bible. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to know the truth, we need to go to see what Jesus says. He's not just telling the truth, he is the truth. And so what Jesus does is, through his death and his resurrection and his teaching, and then whatever else comes in the Bible, written by Paul and Peter and the others, the apostles, we come to know what is the purpose of human existence. And this is it. Life does not end on earth. Death is not final. Okay, death is only a doorway to life eternal. Okay, every one of us, everybody who's ever born, has to pass through that doorway of death. And when we come to the other side, there are but two options. If you have trusted in Jesus, it's life eternal in the presence of God forever and ever. That's the good news of the resurrection. But if we've not trusted in Jesus, it is separation from God forever and ever. Okay? So this morning we're going to just look at what Easter is all about. And see, first of all, we look at the fact of the resurrection. I don't know about you, but many years ago, not anymore, many years ago, I used to feel a bit shy to tell people this. Do you know what? Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And you know, because really not many people rise from the dead, isn't it? Do you know anybody else? No one rises from the dead. Now imagine telling a total unbeliever. Say, do you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died, they crucified him, they put him on the cross, and 3 days later he came alive. You know, it just sounds like a fairy story, isn't it? But the resurrection is not a myth. It's not a fairy story. It is rooted in history. Okay? It's rooted in reality. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, there were so many witnesses of the fact. His disciples, where were they when he was crucified? They ran away. They were afraid for their lives. They were scared. Peter was scared of a servant girl. And they were fearful. But after his resurrection, and after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, they became bold. Okay, so that's what happened. So the reality of the resurrection. Now let's look at, you know, we are familiar with the resurrection account. Okay, it begins on that first Good Friday, where Jesus was first of all buried and placed in the ground. Okay, let's just turn to Matthew chapter 28. Okay, the death of Jesus, verse 27. You know, we see that Jesus died. And as 27 verse 57 says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to Joseph. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out from the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So the first thing is, Jesus was really dead. Okay? Jesus was nearly dead. If you look at John's Gospel, if you look at John's Gospel, John 19. Okay, says similar things. Look at John 19. And it says, verse 31. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. Think about it. Jesus and two thieves are hanging on the cross. Okay? Now, the Jews didn't want the bodies to be left on the cross during the Sabbath, so they wanted them taken down. But the problem was, people who were crucified could live on that cross for a few days. Now, they didn't have a few days. They had a few hours. So what do they do? Okay? So they tell the soldiers, go there, listen, make sure they are dead. And what the soldiers would do is they would break the legs. Now, think about it. Can you die breaking your leg? No. But on the cross, they were faced in such a way that they had to use their legs to push themselves up to breathe. All right? Then they would fall down again, and up and down. So it was excruciating, very, very painful. And so how did they kill the thieves? They didn't put a spear in their heart. They broke their legs. So that in a few minutes, or almost a couple of minutes, they died. So they broke the legs of both the thieves. But when they came to Jesus, what happened? They found he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. Now, this is amazing. Couldn't Jesus have survived? He could have. But Jesus says, no one takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up. Jesus chose the moment of his death. And that's what he did. And so what did the soldiers do? They took a spear and poked it into Jesus' side. And there was a sudden flow of blood and water. Okay, so blood separately, water separately, and really this is a fact that when you're dead, this is what happens. Okay? So Jesus was well and truly dead. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this point is that there are many critics of the resurrection who say Jesus never died. Okay, they say he was badly beaten, and they took his body and they put it in a cool tomb, and then after 12 hours or 24 hours, he gained the strength and he came out again and escaped. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, Jesus was truly dead. So somebody wrote a letter to, you know, you have these letters, dear, in the newspaper you have letters, and so somebody wrote a letter, dear, you know, Eutychus, my pastor says, this is, you know, we have even Christians teaching this thing that Jesus never died, didn't die, or the resurrection didn't happen. He says, my pastor says, this is what happened. Jesus was beaten. He never died. He was placed in the tomb, and he got resuscitated by the cool air. So the guy responds. He said, take your pastor, flog him, break his bones, crucify him, and then see if he will raise again from the dead. You know. So the fact of them, and there are other religions who say the same thing. Do you know that? The Muslims say that it wasn't Jesus who was crucified, somebody else was crucified in his place. Okay, but we need to be clear. Jesus was crucified and Jesus was dead. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus was crucified, Jesus was dead. Okay, but thankfully, it didn't end on that Good Friday, on that Easter Sunday morning. Okay, see what happens. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Okay. This is an amazing thing. Now, what had happened is the disciples did not believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. Do you know that? They didn't believe. They went back home. Okay? Do you know who believed that Jesus could rise? The Pharisees. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The Pharisees who crucified him said, you know, and it just hurt my heart so much this morning when I read. It says, this deceiver, that's what they call Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the truth, and they called him the deceiver. This deceiver said that he will rise from the dead, so we better take some precautions. Okay, so what did they do? They went and told the Romans, look, this deceiver, calling Jesus the truth, the deceiver. He says, so let's make sure he doesn't rise. So they placed him in the tomb. There was a huge rock rolled. It was supposed to be 1.5 tons. It was pushed through, sealed. Then they put a Roman seal. Have you seen a government seal? You know, when they want to lock a cupboard or a room, they put a seal, wax, or put a piece of paper, sign it. And if that seal is broken, that's serious. So a Roman seal was very serious. If you messed with them, you'd be in trouble. Not only that, they put soldiers to guard the tomb. Okay, so nobody could steal the body. If they dealt with the soldiers, they had to break the seal, move the rock. It was very, very difficult. But see what happened. After the Sabbath, Matthew 28, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. I mean, it's amazing. The disciples are all sleeping. It's the women who go to Jesus. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." This is the reality of the resurrection. This is what happened that first Easter morning. Okay? Jesus rose from the dead. After he rose from the dead, this is what happened. Okay? The angels came, the guards shook like and were like dead. The angels were shining brightly like the transfiguration, and they met the women. And they explained to the women and said, "Listen, he is risen." Okay? And that's what happened. So the second thing is that the reality of the resurrection. Not only was Jesus dead, but he rose from the dead. Now, that's great. Many people can claim, my religious leader rose from the dead, but Jesus actually then appeared to them. Look at verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, there they will see me." Okay? So it was not just that Jesus rose from the dead, but they actually saw him. Okay, we don't have time to get into it, but we know the accounts. He appeared in the room where they were. They didn't believe it was him. They thought it was a ghost. And he said, "Give me a piece of fish." And he ate it. Okay? So, these disciples who were fearful of the Jews, after Jesus rose from the dead and they were filled with the Spirit, they boldly proclaimed the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. Now the Pharisees and all, this is what they did. They said, you know, verse 11, "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened." Imagine, the guards were eyewitnesses to the amazing resurrection of Jesus. "When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.'" Okay, I mean, this is crazy. How could the disciples have stolen the body? All right, there's no chance. "If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Okay? So the point of the matter is that the Pharisees tried to cover it up, but it didn't work. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, very quickly, we'll just look quickly at, so what if Jesus rose from the dead? What does it mean to us today? We all believe he rose from the dead. Okay? How does it affect my life today? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we look at three things. Okay? The first thing is this. Death has been defeated. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, it says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the first thing to note is this. Death has been defeated. I want to ask you, are you afraid of dying? Now, nobody wants to die. Isn't that true? We don't want to die. Yeah, that's true. We want to live as long as God gives us breath. But we should not be afraid of death and dying. Because if you are a believer, remember, death is only a doorway. Okay? All your relatives will be crying. You'll be rejoicing. Do you know that? That's a reality. Because you will be in the presence of God forever. Okay? So the first thing about the resurrection is, because, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, he says, chapter 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay? So Jesus was the first fruit. He rose from the dead, and we know that we will also one day rise from the dead. That is our great hope. Okay? For however long we live, it's not long enough. One day we will die. You know, yesterday was the funeral of Jennifer's dad. You know, and that's how it is. One day we will all pass away. There'll only be one generation that won't die. That's a generation that will be here when Jesus returns. Okay? And that's what it is. But the reality and our hope is, when we die, if you are a believer, you will be with Jesus forever. Now, the second thing is, how do we live? Now, if the resurrection is not true, that this is what Peter said, Paul says. Look at verse 14. Verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Okay? So he's saying, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then we're all wasting our time. Okay, he says, our faith is useless. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And verse 19 is the key one. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So he's saying, if there is no resurrection, then what we are doing is of no point. Okay? In verse 32, he says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, then let's just eat and drink and just get the most out of life, because there's nothing else beyond the grave. Okay? So one is, we have hope. Number two is, this, how are we going to live in light of the resurrection? Because there is a resurrection, we need to be clear how we're going to live. Okay, we cannot live like this, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There is a way we need to live, and that's what the Bible talks about. Okay? So that's my second thing. How are we living this morning in the light of the resurrection? Are you living in such a way, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die? Or are you living in a way that says there is a resurrection, so how I live matters? And the third thing I'd like to say is this. What kind of resurrection is there going to be? You know, some people believe all our spirits will merge into the universe and will become one. No. See what it says here. Verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Okay? And then Paul goes on to explain what kind of body. And this is what he says. He says, verse 42. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Okay. Our hope is this, that one day, when we finish our work on earth, we'll pass through the gateway of death, and we will be in the presence of God together with a new spiritual body. Hallelujah. That's the great hope that we have. A body that is perfect. Okay? A body that is perfect. In verse 50, he says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Wow. So, to answer Calvin, is this question, what is the purpose of human existence? This is what it is. We live our life on earth, not eating and drinking for tomorrow we die, but we are living with a purpose, okay, to proclaim the gospel. One day, we will pass through a doorway called death. That's it. For us, it's the twinkling of an eye. We'll pass through that and we will enter heaven. We'll be given a glorified body with which we will live forever and ever and ever. We sang that song, no more sickness, no more death. If you went to heaven with your same body, you would not survive there. But we're going to get a glorified body. No sickness, no death. You know, and that's the hope we've got to keep before ourselves. That's what Jesus has done. And so Paul ends by saying, verse 58, therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Okay? So Paul at the end of Corinthians is saying, listen, Jesus died, he rose again, and he's commanded us to live for him. Okay? Life may be tough, yeah, that's okay. But one day, death has been conquered. One day we'll pass through that doorway to death, and we will be given a glorified body, and we will be with the Lord forever and ever. And so he said, that's why, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And I'm going to end by asking us that question. How are we living? Are we giving in the light of the resurrection? You know, we know it's true, but how are we living? You remember the soldiers? They knew it was true. How did they live? They took some money and denied the resurrection. How did the disciples live? They knew the resurrection was true. They went out and people, and they even died for the gospel. So we've got a choice before us. Okay, will we live like the soldiers? Will we eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? Or will we say, no, there is a resurrection. I'm going to get a glorified body. Let me give myself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Whatever we do, whether we lay a cable, whether we bring breakfast for somebody, yeah, whether we proclaim the gospel, whether we pray for healing for somebody, or we serve somebody, or we give. The truth is, our labor is not in vain. One day, we will be rewarded. Amen. And you know, and the reward we get is not the same for everybody. Did you know that? Okay, look at this. Verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. The splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. Okay? We'll all pass through the gates. Those who've believed in Christ will go to heaven. We'll be given a resurrected body. But the splendor of the body will differ just as the moon differs from the sun. So from body to body. That splendor is dependent on how we have lived for the Lord on the earth today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that death no longer has victory over us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are alive forevermore. Our last breath on earth is our first breath with you in heaven. What a glorious hope we have, Lord. Lord, I pray now this morning as we remember your resurrection from the dead, that we would not eat and drink and do, and you know, eat and drink and be merry for tomorrow we die. We would not live with that mindset, Lord, but we would live for you because we want that glorious body that you are offering us, Lord. Oh, Lord, open our eyes to live in the light of the resurrection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We just got, I just want to make a quick announcement. You know, we have, how many, well, all the breakfast is ready there. We're going to have breakfast soon. But just before we eat, I want to just announce about Burundi. Okay? Can we have the slide on Burundi up? No, please, yeah. Okay. This week I got an email from Steve Oliver, who leads us as churches. And we have Donna, one of our leaders, who's gone to Burundi. Now, what is Burundi is the poorest and hungriest country in the world. All right? We think India is poor, Burundi is 100 times worse. Punishment are there. In the midst of it, there's a political crisis. People are getting killed, and that's what's happening. And over 250,000 people, 2.5 lakhs, have fled the country because of genocide. And we have a church there. We have people there. Okay? And so what Steve wrote to us this week, you know, Steve leads all our churches, and he says, even as you celebrate Easter this week, this is what is happening in Burundi, and we have our people there. Okay, so he said, can we take a love offering for Burundi? Okay, just whatever we have, say, Lord, I want to be a blessing to Burundi. Okay, so we're going to ask the ushers, Meher, can we just arrange the offering baskets for that, to take the second offering? Okay, this is separate from our normal offering. Okay, we're just saying, Lord, we want to give towards Burundi, all right? And this is not our normal tithes and offering. This is a special love offering. And can we just pray for Burundi before we take the offering? Okay. Lord, we thank you that we have so much to eat. We have food and clothing and shelter and peace. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Burundi, Lord, who live with malnourishment, starvation, the threat of death and genocide and civil war. Lord, as we are celebrating Easter, your resurrection from the dead, would you help us to stand with our brothers? You said if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to be a blessing to them. Stir our hearts, Lord, that we would give a love offering towards them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If the ushers could just take the offering. Yeah.